The scripture reading this morning is from Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. Help these women. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The gospel reading this morning is from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. The parable of the Good Samaritan. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? What do you read there? He answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have given the right answer. Do this and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest that was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever you spend. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. This is the gospel of Christ. Glory to you, O Christ. Amen.
Good morning. I'm pleased to be with you here today on Laity Sunday. I'm very humbled to have been asked. Thank you, Chris. And thank you for that kind introduction. Today I'm filling the pulpit as a layperson, yes, but also as a teacher of Christian history. Today I am a guest teacher. So I'm going to begin by referencing some historical elements in the studying of today's scripture. Let me first give some background to the definition of the word laity. Now, no worries, there won't be any exams later on. The church makes a distinction between those who are called to serve God as clergy and those who serve as laity. Clergy derives from the word that signifies inheritance. The church, therefore, names those who are set apart and who inherit the authority of Christ as clergy. It is the role of clergy to preach, to teach, and to administer the sacraments, that latter one being the most distinctive. Laity means of the people, more specifically, the common people. In Jesus' day, that would be the laborers. That's all of us, except, of course, Reverend Devine and Reverend Riggs being an exception. For Reverend Riggs today, this is a bit of a trade-off. I'm usually down there in the pew, and he's usually up here. As laity in the church, we are also called disciples. The word disciple comes from a word meaning to learn. We're all students. Another day. Okay. So we laity attend church services where we learn through our pastors preaching and teaching. At our baptism, we are water washed and become members of the body of Christ. We become God's people. We are laity. We are disciples. Today on Laity Sunday, we honor the role of laity in the church. Your role, my role. But what is this role? We are taught through Scripture to be not just hearers of the gospel, but doers also. We, the people, are the laborers of God. Jesus calls all disciples to put the gospel lessons into practice. We are to love our neighbors as ourselves, as the young man in the scripture this morning so rightly said. Jesus emphasizes that it is not enough to learn the lessons only. We are called as disciples to go out into the world to do the work of the social gospel. Feed the hungry, help the poor, defend the weak, defend the oppressed, and give support to the sojourner. Sojourner, that's an old word. In modern language, it means migrant. Like the Samaritan, we are to show mercy to all those who are in need. Now, in order to illustrate my focus today, let me tell you a family story. Roy's starting to sweat. Roy's grandfather was an evangelical United Brethren pastor. One Sunday, after a particularly well-received sermon, on the way home in the Model A, Grandpa Riggs reflected on how well the sermon went, as pastors often do. How he had made all the points relative to the gospel, how his theological eloquence moved the congregation, how extremely pleased he was of their positive response. Grandma, after listening to this for a while, responded, "And tomorrow we wash." She brought him back down out of the ether, back down to the earth. Now, Grandpa Riggs was an excellent preacher and teacher. He inspired many to follow the commandments, and Grandma Riggs was not negating the impact of his preaching, nor was she dismissing the gospel lesson that was taught that day. But she knew that when Monday comes, there's a transition from heady learning and worshiping on Sunday to the work to be done on Monday. So let me turn this story into a metaphor of action for us. Grandma Riggs gives us the opportunity to examine this transition from hearing the Sunday lessons to doing Monday's wash. And what does it mean for us to face the work of washing in a Christian context? How do we turn from hearing the lofty, inspiring words of the gospel to the practical and the laborious work of the Christian life? Grandma was a true servant of God, a disciple of the Word of God. She put the gospel into practice every day. So in our metaphor of moving from learning to washing, we laity must transition from hearing what is preached on Sunday to then implementing it on Monday. We, as the Good Samaritans of our day, are called to wash and to bind the wounds of the world. It is our role, beginning on Monday, to give comfort and aid, love and acceptance, and as the scripture this morning said, we're to pay for it. Now you've gone to meddling. Pay with our taxes, with our charitable giving, with our church pledges. Like the Good Samaritan, Jesus commands us to cleanse the wounds of those whom we meet every week. It is our Christian vocation. Clergy preach the good news and teach us the commandments. And we respond on Monday with doing the business of washing away the suffering of our neighbor. Now, this church is one of the most active churches I've ever seen in mission. The laity of this church are engaged in projects that are making a difference in the lives of people living in this neighborhood, in this city, and far beyond. We laity support college students with scholarships and gift cards. We donate school supplies to grade school students. We give refuge and food to homeless families through Family Promise and donations to Wesley United Methodist Church Hope Room. We support those who can no longer do repairs and own projects on their own. And that is done through our Helping Hands program, which then commits money to more missions. We offer space to different organizations like Meals on Wheels. We contribute to local and global crises. And I could go on and on and on. There are so many, too many to name. Our laity are following the commandments of Jesus. But, you knew there would be a but. We can't rest on those laurels. Each one of us sitting here, watching, listening. Each one of us has washing to do in our everyday lives, starting each Monday and through each day of the week. So for a few minutes, I want to speak specifically to the issues of social justice and social change, because I believe we are in a social, societal crisis. We have a lot of washing to do out there. We face a fractured, desolate, and despondent society. Each day we experience more violence, more anger, more distrust. We hear vitriol spewed even from the mouths of people who call themselves Christian. We hear intimidation and terrorizing shouts at school board meetings. We hear threats to school teachers. We hear threats to government officials. We hear rejection of the reality of racism in our national conversations and even in our history curriculums. We still hear racial slurs in our workplaces and on our social networks. We turn off the news because we become despondent to the ever louder cacophony of hatred shouted by those who deny the humanity of their neighbors. This past week has proven this true. And don't be fooled. This hatred is passing all around the world and has already affected this country. We politely ignore those who refuse to consider any theology but their own narrow view of the gospel. There exists all around us wounded, distraught, and broken people who need us to intervene, to break our silence. We cannot continue to pass by on the other side of the road because the wounded are not known personally to us, or because we tell ourselves, these evils have nothing to do with us. We are not involved in these attacks. We are not the ones screaming these insults. But in our silence, we become the priest and the Levite in our scripture this morning. Our society needs its wounds washed and tended to. We need to pour oil and wine on the broken lives among us. We need to wash clean the wounds of prejudice, racism, indifference, and intolerance that fall upon the poor, the marginalized, the mentally ill, and those who identify as different. The very ordinariness of venting homophobic, white nationalist, anti-Semitic, and anti-Muslim intolerance needs to be cleansed from this society. Malice and apathy, neglect and hate are taking over. When we fail to expose these, when we fail to challenge these, when we fail to wash away the dirt of these, we fail as disciples. When we fail to speak out against these injustices, our silence makes us complicit in their offense. When we fail to engage, what our society then sees in us is a hypocritical Christianity and a gospel of hollow words. And when non-churched people watch so-called Christians mouthing vitriolic slander and see the angry faces sneering in disgust at those who are different, what are these non-Christians to think? Do they see Christ? Does this make people want to join a church? To become a Christian? We must use our words of love to wash away these aversions of the faith. Recently, Russell Moore, who is a conservative editor of the magazine Christianity Today, told a story that revealed the experiences of many pastors who told him of laity reactions to the preaching on the Sermon on the Mount. You know, the collection of Jesus's sayings, like, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy, and give to him who begs from you, and if violence is done to you, turn the other cheek. These are all found in Matthew 5. Many pastors revealed to him that their church members complained about these teachings, asking where the pastors got such liberal talking points. When informed that these were literally the words of Jesus, the response was often negative. Quote, that doesn't work anymore, end quote. Or, quote, that's weak, end quote. These Christians who denounce the social gospel are denying the teachings of God in too many places in our society, and including in some churches. We are the robbers who inflict the wounds rather than being the Samaritans who wash them. Now, I'm not talking about different interpretations of scripture passages or polemics, arguments on theological points. These have always been part of Christian history. It's normal and it's healthy. It's not about thoughtful disagreement, but about the abandonment of the social gospel teachings altogether. These denials of Jesus's teachings infect and decay our society and our churches. We must always choose the gospel of love in all places and at all times, even if it demands personal sacrifice, like fear of offending someone, fear of upsetting family or friends. It's hard, isn't it? We can no longer be quietly polite and just turn away. It's time for us to wash this grime of apathy and indifference away and to do what is just and pure and commendable, as Paul said in Philippians passage this morning. Jesus gave us a social gospel of commandments. And the greatest commandment is to love God and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Who is our neighbor? The young man asks. And Jesus tells of a Samaritan who in Jesus' day was despised and socially rejected. Samaritans were the lowest of the low. This Samaritan offered aid and paid for the wounded man's recovery. The Samaritan didn't ask if the man deserved his help. He didn't insist that this man be part of his social or religious circle. He didn't want to know, nor did he need to agree with his politics or his lifestyle. There were no conditions of any kind for his aid. If we today are to fulfill our promise as laity to be disciples of Christ, and if we are to love our neighbors as ourselves, then we must reject the temptation to turn away from the chaos in our society. We must not walk on the other side of the road. We cannot ignore the pain and injustice among us. We must wash this infection of ignorance and rancor out of our society by speaking out against it, by engaging in any charitable activity contrary to it, by consenting to listen to the bad news in the media. I know it's hard, but then do something about it. When we hear derogatory remarks, speak out against them. Don't be silent. When we see someone rejected, accept them. When we observe someone being neglected because of how they identify or threatened because of who they are, intervene on their behalf. Protect them. Wash the rejection away. Wash the racism away. Wash the bigotry and the neglect away. Today we hear the gospel's power of compassion, its power of healing and cleansing. We learn that the gospel is not one of rejection. It is not abandonment of God's children, but one of commitment to loving God and all of our neighbors as ourselves. Don't lose hope. Don't be discouraged. We are laity. We are disciples. We can do this. So, today is Sunday. Today we learn. Today we worship. And tomorrow, what do? We wash. Amen.